Live from the HananiahAutos.com studio, this is Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express. Jaguars Thursday. J.P. Shadrick, along with former Jaguars Jeff Loggeman and Tony Baselli, provide the latest Jaguars news and what's happening around the NFL. Brought to you by Baptist Health and by Everbank. Jaguars Thursday begins right now. Right now.
Here we are in the HananiahAutos.com studio at Everbank Field. Jaguars Thursday back for the first time in a while. 355-NFL1, 355-6351. Phone lines open. J.P. Shadrick, Jeff Loggeman, Tony Baselli. First time in a little while, Jeff. How are you?
Two weeks in a row we had Thursday night games.
That's right.
And we actually recorded the Gus Bradley show, what was it, 2 weeks ago?
2 weeks, yeah.
Yeah, 2 weeks ago, and then we didn't have it last week because we had a 6 o'clock kickoff.
That's right.
Which was fantastic, by the way. I think the NFL needs to make a note in the future when you have road games.
Okay.
The Jaguars start needs to always be at 6 o'clock so that we can get home at a reasonable hour.
It's very selfish, although I agree with you.
Why don't you go ahead and text Roger and get that done. It'd be great.
When I see him, I will bring that up.
I'm sure you will. Tony, what's up, man? How are you?
Good. Excited, man. It's an exciting time of life for me right now. Start of kickoff the NFL night. Can't wait for that game. Sit on the couch. Yeah. My pops is in town for the month, so I can watch the game with him.
Good for you, man.
Yeah.
Having dad in town.
Oh, it's great. It's fun. And then, high school football tomorrow night. And then Sunday, I can't wait. Saturday, I have the Philly. Can't wait to play Sunday afternoon.
Hey, congratulations again.
Oh, thanks.
College Hall of Fame. You were back at USC this past weekend. How'd it go?
Tailgating's a good. JP and I were talking about it. You and I never get a tailgate.
I think I've done it once.
Yeah, I've done it. I think this was my second or third time doing it. And it's just, the whole atmosphere. College football is a lot of fun on game day. Campus and all the colors and the excitement, and there's 80,000 people in the Coliseum.
All right, 40.
No, there was 80,000.
Okay,
in the fine. And it was a good time. And Jeff, you'll appreciate this. So one of the things that they wanted me to do is to lead the team out on the field out of the tunnel.
Oh,
and so I go up to I was on the field.
30-minute warm up. Here comes.
Was that. So I was on the field during pregame watching everyone doing shaking hands and all the stuff. And I watched the little game on the sidelines for the entire game. So they say, be up in the tunnel. And have you played the Coliseum when the Jets played?
Raiders, yeah.
Yeah, right. So
played,
you know that,
Raiders there.
You know that long tunnel comes down. So go up in the tunnel, meet there, go to the locker room. And the marketing lady meets me, and she says, all right, this is what you're going to do. So that's going to do. And then you'll go here at the front of the curtain. The team will be right behind you. And then you're going to walk down a little bit in front of them and do the thing to the crowd, whatever you want. And then you're going to run out. Through
on artificial hips.
Yeah, and the team's going to follow you out. And I said, let me explain something to you. I got 2 fake hips, and I'm not running anywhere. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to walk down the ramp, wave, and I'm going to do a slow jog.
And send them out.
And I'm going to veer off to the right with the cheerleaders and let them run by. And that's what I did. And it was a good time.
I'll tell you what, on Jaguars Monday, we have some access at USC that a lot of folks don't have. And Tony actually had a pregame speech to the team. Here it is.
I'm Tony Baselli, and I want you on my team.
You can get in the game.
And I want you.
Bring me some chocolate pudding. Chocolate pudding. Chocolate pudding.
Smart. Make a play. You'll score.
Bring me some chocolate pudding.
I want you on my team. Don't be left on the sideline.
Chocolate pudding.
That's become a part of me. Always will be. Help make the magic happen. To me?
Chocolate pudding, chocolate pudding, chocolate pudding.
Smart.
Was I supposed to get a trophy for that?
We can't hear that enough. I mean, very inspiring speech. They went out and just stomped Fresno State.
Yeah, it worked. Game. It obviously worked.
What a game. Jaguars.
Hey, by the way, remind me, when you asked me about playing at the Coliseum, it brought back a very bad memory of my game there against the Oakland Raiders when I was with the Jets. And I will bring that up at some point in the show because it's not a very good memory. And I've got a lot of great memories of playing pro football, but this is not one of the good ones.
And one more college note.
Okay, and then we'll get to
Jaguars. I'm not happy with you, Loggeman.
You're unhappy with me?
Yes.
Why would that
Because your alma mater had UCLA on the ropes and should have beat them.
I lost $100.
They should have beat them. They threw 2 pick sixes.
Gambling is illegal at Bushwood, sir.
Two.
Monopoly money. Monopoly, yeah, we're fake money.
Matchsticks.
Yeah.
two defensive touchdowns you guys give up to the Bruins and lose a close game. I mean, you guys should have beat them.
I agree. I totally agree.
I mean,
agree.
I watched that game. I'm like, hey, let's go, Virginia.
I lost $100 of Jaguar bucks.
Wow, that's worth a lot, actually. Yeah,
it is.
Let's get to the Jaguars.
Sorry,
of
go
course,
back to the Pro Football.
Jaguars-Eagles coming up Sunday. Let's start on the defensive side for the Jaguars. Obviously, that's the big question mark here. This is Philly offense. Of course, last year was one of the best in the league. The shortest time between plays in the league last year. Got so many plays off. McCoy led the league in rushing. Foles had a huge year, 27 touchdowns, two interceptions. This is an offense that you just got to keep up with these guys, right? I mean, that's where you start defensively. Good test for a defense.
Well,
a lot of folks can be strong.
To keep up or to stop them offensively is stopping LeSean McCoy.
That's where it starts and ends.
He is the reason why that offense can operate at an extremely high level. They can go to that up-tempo offense because they have been so successful on first down. They were number one in the National Football League last year, gaining 6.83 yards per first down. Per first down. That's insane. I mean, and so you figure most teams run the ball a lot on first down.
Yeah, they do.
And some teams like to mix it up, but most teams are predominantly run first on first down. And you have, arguably the best back in the National Football League. I think the best all-around back as far as being a receiver and a runner combination. LeSean McCoy is a perfect fit for this offense. If you do not stop him, it will be a long day in Philly. I can assure you of that.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. It's funny. Everyone talks about Chip Kelly's offense and the hurry up and spread you out. It is a run-first offense. It is predicated on everything they do on the ground. Being able to run the ball, they are actually very, very simple. If you watch the tape and get away from all the motion and formations and the fact that they're in the gun predominantly, they're simple. They run a couple plays. They run outside zone. They run inside zone. They might trap a little bit, and that's about it. And they're going to run the read zone, and not that Nick Foles is ever going to keep the ball. But they're going to hold.
You got to honor it.
You got to honor it. They're going to hold that backside end. And what they do better than anybody else in the league is because they run the ball effectively, they show that zone read, they hold the backers, and they hit the tight end in the middle of the field over the top.
Here's a number
for
you.
They are outstanding at it.
Here's a number for you to just kind of make a point or a point of emphasis what Tony just said there.
Yes.
About hitting the tight ends.
Yes.
You know, they led the league in plays of 20 yards or more last year with 99. 26 of them came from DeSean Jackson. 20 came from the tight ends. Selleck had 12.
Wow.
And then their high first-round pick last year, Ertz, had 8. And that's the reason why. When you're so good at running the ball, so when Nick Foles is sticking that ball into the stomach of LeSean McCoy, the linebackers have to respect that.
Especially how he sells it.
Because he's sticking it in there, and the linebackers are going, we have to stop the best back in the National Football League. Well, then all of a sudden, Nick Foles pulls it out of the stomach of LeSean McCoy, and what's creeping behind the linebacker is the tight end. That's why their tight end is maybe more effective than any tight end group in the National Football League, because their ability to run the ball first and then suck the linebackers up and then throw right behind them.
I was watching the tape. It's interesting. They're better than they were last year offensively. They have a couple weaknesses, though. They're going to miss DeSean Jackson because DeSean Jackson did something of spreading the field and opening up space for everyone else that I don't see anyone else.
Nobody else there can do that.
On the roster that can do that. Riley Cooper's a good player. Jeremy Maclin's a good player. They have a rookie in Josh Huff, who's a rookie.
Well, and they've got another rookie in Jordan Matthews, second-round pick,
Jordan
wide
Matthews,
receiver
exactly
from Vanderbilt.
Right. And so they're a little bit, I don't want to say limited, but they're not going to scare you outside. And then the other weakness is the right tackle. He's a very average player. But up front, other than that, they are outstanding. They're very good. And what they do, as well as anyone I've seen on tape this year, and it's only preseason, but even for a lot of last year, is their zone blocking with those guys inside and how they combo and get up to the next level, to the linebacker level, is outstanding. And then you have the best back in football behind him.
And I wanted to get back to this offensive line, zone blocking, all that. This guy, Jeff, you and I were talking about this earlier, that this group has worked together every game last year.
They started
except
as
for the
a
right
group.
Tackle.
Except for the right tackle.
No, no, no.
Well, the last year they all worked together every single game.
No, last year every single game.
Oh, were, yeah. The, yes.
They were in the starting lineup.
Yes.
So, I mean, you've got a group that's played together, and obviously with Lane Johnson being suspended for PEDs for four games, he's not going to be in the lineup. And that who's Tony is referring to, who is the weak link, and that's his replacement. Alan Barber or Barbary, he actually accepts both pronunciations.
I'm going to go with Barbary.
You're going with Barbary?
Yeah, let's go with Barbary this
All right, okay.
We'll decide it
we'll
now.
Go with Barbary. Okay. We'll let Frank go with Barbary.
We'll test you, test you on Sunday. But the point is, that group working together, they've all been in the league for a long time. I think the youngest of that group is, what, a sixth year or so?
That's Jason Kelce.
Fourth year. Exactly. Four-year player.
Pretty
fourth
solid.
Year player, but in the best players, their left tackle, who I can't believe the Buffalo Bills let him go. Yep. I mean, they traded him away from Buffalo. You remember how bad the Buffalo Bills have been with their offensive line for the last, what, 5 years or whatever it's been? That's a big reason why. I mean, they gave away Jason Peters.
And he is their best, but not far behind is Jason Kelce. He's an outstanding center. And I'm telling you, it's fun for me to watch. I mean, to watch them work together. And you better – the way that – the Jaguars are going to have to stop them. They're going to have to win one-on-one matchups and get off blocks because they're going to zone you and they're going to get up to those backers and they're going to create creases for LeSean McCoy. And the way you defeat him, New Orleans did it in the playoffs, you win one-on-one up front and never allow him to get going. But if you allow them to scoop you and zone you up to the next level, it is tough. And they're good pass blockers as well.
Yep.
The guy that they're going to have to win, whoever's over Barbary in the pass, has to win one-on-one.
Well, here's a question. Will the Jags be able to move somebody over the new right tackle? Can Wash and Babbage and those guys kind of move guys around to make that matchup?
Well, the Jaguars' best defensive end pass rusher is Chris Clemons. So, you know, conventional thinking is take your best player, your best pass rusher, and put it against their weakest link, which is the right tackle, the replacement for Lane Johnson. Now, when they play in base defense, I don't know if they would do that because alignment typically determines what
strength,
side of the ball
yeah,
that Chris
does.
Clemons is at because Red Bryant's the strong side end, and then Chris Clemons is a Leo, so the defense predicates where they're going to line up at. Now, when you go to nickel and four down, that can change. Then you might say, okay, let's take Chris Clemons and put him against it. If not, Chris Clemons traditionally has been the right defensive end in the nickel package. Ryan Davis, the right tackle. The left tackle, send Derek Marks. The left end has been Andre Branch. Will they stay that way or say, hey, Andre Branch, we're going to let you go to the right side and we're going to let Chris Clemons match up against their weak link? That's what I would do just because Chris Clemons is my best pass rusher. And the Philadelphia Eagles, schematically, they don't keep guys in to help a guy.
No, they're going.
They get them out in the routes.
Okay,
so they're not going to help this guy. This guy, he's on his own.
Okay,
they want five guys in the route. That's how they play offense. That's how Chip Kelly plays. Now, the one thing that will help this young, or not really young, he's in his seventh year, but weak link right tackle, Barbary, is just the success of the running game and the play action. And that also, if you can get the
and
Eagles
the pace.
To third and long, you know, then all of a sudden, now you can rush the passer and pin your ears back. And the tempo does wear down a defense.
We've talked about it a lot this week, and we'll talk it on the broadcast on Sunday. It's tough for a defensive lineman. It's an advantage of the offense. I mean, speeding up, and that's why what is so impressive about the Eagles' numbers is the fact that they were number one on first down because that predicates how fast you can go. If you're not winning on first down, and so something to watch if you're watching the game on Sunday or listening to us is if the Jaguars can have success on first down, it puts Chip Kelly out of his comfort zone of what he wants to do. It changes his game plan. If he's winning on first down,
they're rolling.
Hold on.
Yeah. How about all this tempo talk this week? You know, all this fast offense, the Jags to be fast to match these guys, and it could be just a bunch of plays in this game. Well, how about a stat from last season? My thought was, what about the slow teams? Where do they stand? Is tempo really – that much of an issue? Are great teams fast? Was kind of my
no.
And here's the answer to that. The longest average time between plays last year was almost 42 seconds, and it was Carolina. The bottom, the four above that, Dallas, Chicago, San Francisco, and Seattle. That's the slowest between plays. Pretty good offenses. Hey. If you can execute, it doesn't matter how fast you go, right?
I'm not a big fan of up-tempo just because I played on the defensive side of the ball. Yeah. because to me, why would you want to have your defense play more snaps because your offense is running up tempo? Because that's essentially
that's
what happens.
Doing, yep.
You know, you're taking time away from your offense and giving more to your defense when you run up tempo. You know, I would rather have Red Bryant at 340 pounds, you know, on the sideline taking a breather for 40 seconds of each play than, you know, taking 24.2 seconds of play.
And it's interesting hearing Chip Kelly talk about it. Was it yesterday you had the phone conference? They just want to outscore guys. They're not worried about time of play. They're not worried about number of plays. They just want to score more points. So if they can execute and have that many more plays on the field,
It's almost somewhat of a selfish approach.
Kind of is.
Because, you know, Chip Kelly's an offensive guy,
sure,
and he wants more big plays, more opportunities at putting points on the board. But at the same time, if the defensive coach Bill Davis is over there, the defensive coordinator, going, Chip, we're averaging 75 plays a week on defense because you guys are running 23.12 seconds per play. You know, so it's got its drawbacks, there's no doubt. Yeah. Now, take, for example, last year when the Jaguars ran up-tempo. I didn't like it. I didn't like it because their defense wasn't good enough to take extra snaps on that
depth.
Side
they
of the ball.
Didn't have the depth to be able to do that.
It might balance out a little better, though,
now,
right?
Now, this year, I'm okay with going a little bit more up-tempo, but last year I used to hate the up-tempo just because on defense you weren't very good.
Well, not only that, we weren't winning on first down. So
No.
It makes it tough. So it's going to be – listen, it's going to be a great matchup. It, you know, the one thing that is for sure, the strength of the Philadelphia Eagles is their offense. The strength of this Jacksonville Jaguars is the defense. And it's a great test. And the one thing that I think you got to be confident if you're Bob Babich and Gus Bradley going to this game is how you match up outside with Dwayne Gratz and Alan Ball.
I think they match up good, though.
I do, too.
I mean, Macklin's still recovering from an ACL reconstruction that he had done last year. He heard it in training camp.
Riley Cooper's not going to run by you.
Riley Cooper's not going to run by you, but he's a very good receiver.
Crafty.
Brad Smith, the former quarterback turned wide receiver, Jets, Buffalo Bills.
He's not a wide receiver.
Nah, he's not there yet.
Jordan Matthews is going to probably get more of those snaps.
He's a rookie.
Yeah.
Join the Jags to celebrate the 20th season and participate in the Jags Throwback Thursday starting today and every Thursday leading up to the home opener. Share your pictures in Jags throwback gear with hashtag JagsTBT. I guess I could do that. There's two original Jags sitting right here. Best picks will be shown on the Everbank Field video boards, and four winners will get a chance for pregame field access to the home opener. When we return on Jaguars Thursday, look at the Jaguars offense and what they can do against the Philly D. Phone lines are open. We'll get to calls when we come back too. 355-NFL1, 355-6351. This is Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
Hey, it's the Roo. What would you say if I told you you could get a hot dog and a refreshing fountain drink for $1.50 at Kangaroo Express? You'd say, this is too good to be true. A dog and a drink for $1.50? How can this be? And I'd say, oh, it's true. Go to Kangaroo Express and see for yourself. A delicious ballpark frank and an ice-cold fountain drink for $1.50. And you'd say, how can I ever thank you? And I'd say, don't worry about it. That's what the Roo is here for. Check out KangarooExpress.com for more deals. Kangaroo Express. Get right at the Roo.
I'm Michaela Bradley, wife of Jacksonville Jaguars head coach Gus Bradley. My husband is always prepared with a game day plan, and so am I. As a busy mom, I'm always looking for easy ways to save time. Publix helps me tackle everything from pregame prep to postgame cleanup with prices that are never out of bounds.
This week at Publix, assorted Febreze Aerifex and Set and Refresh items are on sale, 2 for $5.
Available at Publix, where shopping is a pleasure.
A 49-yard touchdown run is good for the Jags. And what's good for the Jags is good for 67,000 fans in teal. And what's good for 67,000 fans in teal is good for you. At Baptist Health, our mission is to support everything that's good for you and your health. So as the official healthcare provider of the Jacksonville Jaguars, here's to a season full of touchdown runs. Visit BaptistJacks.com to discover more ways Baptist Health is changing healthcare for good.
Dream Finders Homes, the official home builder of the Jacksonville Jaguars, wants to give you a chance to win $200,000 for the new Dream Finders Homes in the Ticket to the House promotion. To register, visit any Dreamfinders Home Sales Center, or for complete details, visit dreamfindershomes.com. With over 20 communities in Northeast Florida, Dreamfinders Homes prides itself in offering the best value at every price point and welcomes you to experience the Dreamfinders Homes difference.
Okay, sports fans, it's game time at the Built Ford Tough Sales Event. Ford F-150 with EcoBoost has smash-mouth power with efficiency. Ford Super Duty, boom. That's how you punch it right up the gut, pal. And here's another stat, folks. F-Series has been America's best-selling truck for 37 straight years. That's called a dynasty, baby. Now, during the Built Ford Tough Sales Event, score big savings on the hardest-hitting lineup of trucks on the field. Ford F-150 and Ford Super Duty, only at your local Ford dealer.
GovX.com and the Jaguars are on a mission to thank those who protect and serve our great country, military and first responders. Verify your service online at GovX.com/Jaguars to gain exclusive access to privileged pricing on Jaguars tickets. Go to GovX.com/Jaguars to skip the box office wait and get the tickets you want. GovX.com also offers access to exclusive pricing on premium brands and more than 40,000 products covering the tactical as well as the practical. Visit GovX.com/Jaguars to get in the game.
Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express, continues right now.
Jags fans, come protect the bank when the Jags face Andrew Luck in the division rival Indianapolis Colts September 21st, 1 o'clock kick. You got to be here for the home opener and see what everybody's been talking about. The world's largest video boards and the north end zone deck. Tickets going fast. Jaguars.com/tickets or call 904-633-2000. And from what I understand, I was here in the studio last home game, guys. The north end zone deck was quite the place to be, right?
Yeah, it looked like they were having a lot of fun.
I guess we'll find out on the 21st of September, for
right,
sure.
You said we got a phone call.
Oh, yeah, let's go to the phone line. No comment from Longwood.
Trying to change the subject
355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Phil on the south side wants to talk about third downs. What's up, Phil?
Third and fourth downs. Yeah, I have a theory about third and fourth downs for really all teams, but basically for teams that like the Jaguars will likely be 8-8, maybe 9-7 if they push it. Those teams need to take more risk, and what I see is like third and 2 or 3 yards around the 35 to 40 yard line of the other team, inside the 50 of the other team. It's always a passing down, third and 2, third and 3, and then they just kick, punt it away. Why doesn't the team run it twice there and just say, look, if we run it twice, we can get two to three yards a large percentage of the time. That's the better strategy. And let's take more risk, so maybe we'll get 9 or 10 wins this year. I just think that's a better way to go.
No, there's nothing wrong with that way of thinking. In fact, there has been all kinds of statistical analysis to look at not only third and two, whether you choose run or pass, but also do you go for it on fourth down? And at what point does the reward far exceed the risk or the negative of doing that type of play? And you'd be shocked if you actually saw the real numbers on some of this stuff. And I'll have to get some of that information from the Jaguars guru of that, Tony Khan, because he has a whole library of some of that stuff.
Yeah.
But there's one coach that is coaching at the college level that I saw a piece on that I think it was either ESPN or the NFL Network did, and that this guy runs it by the book. If it's fourth and three or fourth and four at a certain point of the field, he's going for it. And it's unheard of. And he's actually tries onside kicks almost like every kickoff because the statistical probability of making it is at a certain point that the reward is so great that it's worth doing. And it's interesting to me, but the caller brings up a great point. It's everything like that has been looked at in some way, shape, or form. Statistically, every part of the game has been looked at by people.
Well, and I'd argue if it's good enough for a team that's in the middle of the pack, why not a great team or a bad team? Listen, if that's how you're going to play and that's your theory, if you're going to play by the numbers, you have to be consistent, because the thing you don't want to be is inconsistent, because you're like, then the numbers don't always work in your favor, because it's something, if you're going to go by the analytics and the statistical probability of, okay, this is where how we're going to play, then you have to be consistent with your approach.
You got to balance that with good old-fashioned guts and feel too, right? If your defense isn't good on a short field, you can't give them an onside.
Well, it's got to be a little bit of guts and feel, but it's easy to criticize a coach, more so on going forward on fourth and one or two when you're not across the 50-yard line.
Yeah.
And it's a safer play for him just to go ahead and punt it. You know, but the statistical data will tell you that in certain cases it's better to go for it.
And a lot of it has to do with how good is your defense. The more confidence you have in your defense.
But I mean, the guys stuff, they don't take that into account at all.
Oh, you're right. But I'm saying I would, as a coach making those decisions, I look at all the information, the analytics and everything that's telling me, but I also have to understand the point of the game. A perfect example is if it's a hot day in September and my defense has been on the field a lot and they're tired, I'm going to punt it away and make the other opponent drive the field.
Because, or you could go to the flip side of that and say, hey, let's go for it to keep them off the field.
You could argue
all
both sides.
Of ways.
This is Jaguars Thursday. Phone lines are open, 355-NFL1, 355-6351. And this portion of Jaguars Thursday is brought to you by Fanatics.com. Jaguars offense. The biggest news today was that Cecil Shorts III left practice with some tightness in a hamstring again. Gus Bradley said it was just a precaution and he should be good going forward. But you know what? I mean, it's something that we've heard before, right?
Asked Gus about that, and he said that it was just precautionary. We're trying to make sure that he's, you know, ready for game day. But the reality of it is that's something you pay attention to when you hear it. You know, any time that a player with Cecil's hamstring issues that have bothered him all throughout camp all of a sudden crops up again, whether it's the same or a different one, I'm not sure. But that is certainly it's a foghorn. You know, you're going, oh, buddy, you better try to find out the source of that and get more details on it. Hey, look, that's not a very experienced group. And even if Cecil Shorts is playing, he has not had a lot of time in preseason to get ready for the regular season and certainly the pace of a regular season football game. So that's a big concern. I mean, that group as a whole
is
a big concern.
Without Cecil hurt.
You know, we could end up seeing, if Cecil can't play, you could see basically what essentially we've seen in the preseason, Allen Hurns, Marquise Lee, Mike Brown.
A little bit of Allen Robinson.
A little bit of Allen Robinson, but a little bit.
No, yeah, he's going to be not much.
He was back full officially at practice today, Robinson.
Well, listen, I'd be very concerned on Thursday, which is a work day, and you're trying to get ready to play a game. If a guy who has had hamstring issues, you have to hold out, even if it's only for quote-unquote precautionary reasons, that's not a good sign.
That's like the worst muscle in the world that you can pull. I mean, really.
That's why I never did it.
Good job, Tony.
I never did it while I was playing. I actually did it one time playing paintball, you know, long after my playing days were done.
Was it a game week? I mean,
No, come on, Jeff. No, long after my playing days were done. And I'm going to tell you now, it took me like a year.
Well, you're old.
And it still affects me somewhat to this day. And I'm not young anymore, but I mean, still, I'd never had one when I was playing. I had a groin, but I mean, from talking to guys that do have it, they've told me that. And guys, I'm talking about guys that played for 10, 12 years and have had other injuries. They will tell you that the hamstring is nothing to mess with. Very difficult to overcome that,
especially for a sprinting position. You got to get out there, no doubt.
I mean, it's a large muscle.
Yeah.
You use it on everything that you do, and it's a nagging injury. It's one that never seems to go away, because how do you rest it and then still try
to get better?
To get better and strengthen yourself to get back in action.
And that's the concerning thing. Jeff said the key word, nagging. I mean, so all of a sudden you're sitting there thinking, all right, you think you're clear, he finally gets back, you give him plenty of time, and they handle it perfectly based on what you want to be ready for opening day, and then the Thursday before the opener, you get – tightness or
I'd rather have a broken bone.
Yeah, I mean, because you know it's going to heal. And when
six
it's gonna
weeks,
heal,
I'm ready to go.
That's right.
You know, tape it up. You can mobilize it. You don't use it, you go.
I'll say this, and we know nothing more than anyone listening to us when it comes to injuries. I won't be surprised at all if Marquise Lee and Allen Hurns have the majority of the snaps on Sunday afternoon because of a nagging injury. Because you worry about it. I mean, now, hopefully it was just a little tightness and stretch it out and ice it up and you're fine on Sunday. But the guys I've been around who have hamstring issues playing it's something you worry about, and you don't want to be sitting around lingering all year.
And it's pretty much guaranteed that he might not go full tomorrow either. I mean, if he has tightness today, you don't want to risk it on a Friday, right?
But at some point, you got to go get ready to play.
At some point, you got to be ready.
You got to be able, as a coach, to make a determination, okay, when you're getting close to game day, about who you're going to have active, you know.
But not only that, Jeff, if you got two rookies that you're going to have to count on playing,
you got to get them ready.
You got to get them ready.
Well, you're going to get them ready either way. But as a coach going to game day, if you have a guy that has a hamstring, you want to have, first of all, you got to be able to trust the player and what he's going to tell you. But if he goes out there and he's telling you, I'm fine, and I'm going to be able to go, don't worry about me, and then all of a sudden the first play of the game he pulls up, then all of a sudden you're in a bind because you had maybe somebody that was inactive that you could have had up to take his spot on offense and then maybe to replace whatever special teams that player X was on. You know, so as a coach, you know, you kind of want to have an idea going into Sunday, you know, what do we have to do if he can't go? But the hamstring is, you know, it's a curious thing.
But you're already short if you think about it, because Allen Robinson is one of the five that you have on the active roster, and you are going to have him on a pitch, so-called pitch count.
Right.
He's only going to play so many plays. And so you're not going to risk him for the rest of the year to push him point because his conditioning and everything else to where he can't, you know, protect himself or be in the right position to play.
This is not a good year for Cecil to have hamstring
Absolutely,
issues.
Absolutely, because That's right. Now you're fighting Cecil, you don't know. The risk is you only have three guys who can play the entire game with all the multi-sets that Jed Fish likes to run.
Young group behind him first and foremost. Okay, you want to have a guy with experience. He's the most experienced of the group. And we're not saying he's going to be out. But if there is any question, that's a concern. And on top of that, it's a contract year for Cecil.
He wanted
to prove that he was going to be able to stay healthy and get another contract and keep playing. And you want – I mean, I like this guy as being the leader of the group.
We'll find out. Tomorrow will certainly be the one of the top storylines, if not the top, for this team. When we come back, we'll talk running backs. We'll talk offensive line, the Jags and the Eagles coming up this Sunday in Philly. The JTA's new route optimization initiative will provide reliable service, increased bus frequency, rename routes, and decrease travel time starting December 1st. For more information, visit jtafla.com or call 904-630-3100. More Jaguars Thursday after this on Jaguars Radio.
Jaguars fans, want to show your support of the team every time you hit the road? Support youth and local athletics along with local sports tourism by purchasing a Jag Tag. Proceeds from each purchase benefits local charities, and the Jag Tag has generated over $500,000 for these charities since 1995. For more information or to purchase a tag, visit flasportstag.com or visit your local tag office or tag agent today.
Hey, Jags fans, put that cash back in your wallet and break out the Jaguars Visa debit card instead. Available exclusively through EverBank, you can score one by visiting a local financial center or at everbank.com/JagsCard. This card yields to no one and is yours free when you open an EverBank Yield Pledge checking account featuring powerful mobile banking apps and unlimited U.S. ATM reimbursements when you maintain a minimum average balance. So claim your Jags card at a local EverBank financial center near you or by visiting everbank.com/JagsCard. EverBank is an equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Hey, it's the Roo. What would you say if I told you you could get a hot dog and a refreshing fountain drink for $1.50 at Kangaroo Express? You'd say, this is too good to be true. A dog and a drink for $1.50? How can this be? And I'd say, oh, it's true. Go to Kangaroo Express and see for yourself. A delicious ballpark frank and an ice-cold fountain drink for $1.50. And you'd say, how can I ever thank you? And I'd say, don't worry about it. That's what the Roo is here for. Check out KangarooExpress.com for more deals. Kangaroo Express. Get right at the Roo.
During the Volkswagen Turbocharge sales event, you can get a $1,000 turbocharged reward card when you purchase or lease a new 2014 turbo model. So why are we so obsessed with turbo? Well, because we like giving you power, but we also like giving you fuel efficiency, which is why we offer a fuel-efficient turbo engine in every Volkswagen model, like the Jetta SE, the Jetta TDI Clean Diesel, the Jetta Hybrid, the Passat TDI Clean Diesel, you can't forget the sleek CC, the versatile Tiguan, the Touareg, and not to mention the iconic Beetle. So, like I said, $1,000 turbocharged reward card with a turbo offered in every Volkswagen model. Maybe that's why we've sold more turbos than any other brand over the last 10 years. So hurry in.
The Volkswagen Turbocharged Sales Event. For a limited time only. Volkswagen prepaid MasterCard turbocharger war card requires purchase of eligible vehicle. Allow 8 to 10 weeks for car delivery. Expires 2 years from issue date. Card offer ends September 2nd, 2014. See dealer. Call 1-800-DRIVE-EW for details. See fueleconomy.gov for EPA estimates. Your mileage will vary and depends on several factors. More sold based on IHS Automotive Polk U.S. new vehicle total registrations for turbo vehicles May 2004 to March 2014.
This is Tony Baselli. Republic Services is the undisputed leader in recycling in Northeast Florida. Recycling is not only the right thing to do to protect the environment, but can save you and your community's money. Republic is the official waste provider of the Jacksonville Jaguars and has been proudly serving the residents and businesses of Northeast Florida for over 30 years. Call Republic Services for all your waste and recycling solutions, and we will take it from here. Visit republicservices.com for more information.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express, continues right now.
Visit Jaguars.com and check out Inside the Jaguars for the latest Jags news. Rolling along, the Sexton Spotlight with Alan Ball went up today on Jaguars.com, and plenty of daily content from senior writer John Osier as well. Jaguars Thursday continues, 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. J.P. Shadrick, Jeff Lagerman, Tony Baselli. We continue with this Jaguars offense against the Philly D, and you know, a lot of questions about the running backs. Jones-Drew now in Oakland, of course, and it's Gerhardt, it's Denard Robinson, it's Jordan Todman. Gerhardt's going to start, but could this be a situation where if a guy has a hot hand, they might stick with him for a little bit?
Could be, but I mean, hey, look, this is going to be Toby Gerhardt's offense.
Okay.
And then after that, it's going to be kind of a split-it-up kind of a deal. I think Todman will get probably the reps away from Toby on first and second down. I think we're going to see possibly a lot of Denard Robinson on third down. You know, now that he's proven to catch the ball and he's got great open field running ability, why not? You know, let's see what he can do on third down.
But as long as you're confident they can pick up the blitz.
Yeah, and I think he's done a pretty good job.
No, yeah, I'm just saying that's the thing that you have.
Was it good in the preseason?
That might be probably the least talked about improvement in Denard Robinson's game, is that he has learned to be a little bit more physical as a blocking back. Because the fact is that you can't play in the National Football League at running back unless you can be able to block.
Especially on third down.
On third down.
Yeah, you have to.
And like with Edgerrin James, who was Peyton Manning's personal protector for many years in Indianapolis, as well as trying to think of the guy that was after Edgerrin James. But Edgerrin James was a great running back, but he was one of the best at having an awareness about picking up a blitz. Now, he wasn't the most physical knock-you-in-the-teeth kind of back like Maurice Jones-Drew was, but he did enough.
Yep.
And Denard Robinson, that's all he's got to do is just do enough. But I think it's going to be a running back by committee. But if this team's going to be good, Toby Gerhardt's got to be good.
He better be the man.
And I'm anxious to watch the guy that they signed to the practice squad from the Philadelphia Eagles. His name is Henry Josie from Missouri. And he actually led the Eagles in rushing in the preseason with 6.6 yards per carry average. So that looks like a nice little addition to the practice squad. Got to develop.
Just a random question on that pickup especially. Last week of the preseason, from a waiver claim pickup of your first week's opponent. Anything to that?
Not a rookie or a young running back.
That is purely a talent acquisition.
Yeah. Good.
You know, because they want to have guys that they can develop. This is a smaller type stature back. He's only 5'8", 194 pounds, but he's got the quickness kind of skills. And when you get 6.6 a carry in the preseason. And the Philadelphia Eagles only kept, I think, three running backs on their active roster. They don't have a fullback. At least they don't even have fullbacks as a position on their starting offense.
That's true.
That's pretty thin. I'm sure they were going to try to put him on practice squad. Now, the interesting thing is a guy like this Josie guy, Henry Josie, once he gets cut from the Philadelphia Eagles, the only team it's not like the only team that he's eligible for a practice squad is the team that he was with. Once he gets cut, he can choose to go to any of the 31 other teams' practice squad as well. So then it becomes almost a recruiting pitch by David Caldwell and his staff and the Jaguars coaching staff.
If he clears waivers,
If he clears waivers, yes. At that point then it becomes another recruiting-type pitch.
Right.
And so I give the Jaguars credit because I guarantee you that a guy with these type of numbers in the preseason, and the Philadelphia Eagles probably desire to put him on practice squad, to be able to get him on your practice squad, that's a good job.
Let's continue. Offensive line. This group, they are what they are now. It's Jokel, left tackle. It's Beatles at left guard. It'll be McClendon at center. The right guard is the rookie, Linder.
Linder.
And, of course, the right tackle is out for the first 2 weeks in Pastor.
Let me give you some numbers here, okay? Luke Jokel has one start at left tackle in his career, and it was 12 plays. Okay, let's ignore Zane Beatles just for a minute. Jacques McClendon has zero starts at center in his career.
Mm-hmm.
Brandon Linder has zero starts in his NFL career. He's a rookie, obviously. Cam Bradfield has 13 career starts at right tackle in his career. So you add up those starts, okay, not including Zane Beatles. There's 14 combined starts out of four of those guys going into Philadelphia.
A little different from the Eagles' offensive line, huh?
Zane Beatles has 62 career starts.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's a shocking number.
Yeah.
And getting ready to go to Philadelphia and to face a defense by Bill Davis that likes to run the Dick LeBeau, Dom Capers, bring pressures from different areas, Marvin Lewis. I mean, he comes from a lot of different backgrounds, but all those backgrounds speak of pressure. Pressure, pressure, pressure. This is a big challenge for this offensive line group that hadn't had a lot of starts under their belt.
And it's a much improved defense over last year. I mean, they are more physical. Their personnel is better, and it's going to be a great test. And if you look at up front, if you're game planning this group, I think if you're Jed Fish, you know you have to help in passing situations your right tackle. So that means you're going to count on your left tackle, Luke Jokel, to be one-on-one against arguably their best pass rusher in sub protection, in third down protections, and that's Trent Cole. And so this is going to be a great test for Luke. He's going to be one-on-one a lot because they're going to have to run the fullback and tight end over at Cam to give a chip at least some of the times to help him out. And I'm looking forward to it.
Let me also bring up that Luke Jokel's also going to have to block Fletcher Cox, who is a very good young player, and they play
but
a 3-4.
He's more dominating the run.
Yeah, he's a power guy.
I wouldn't worry about him in passing situations.
No, but that's – I mean, he's a powerful guy. I mean, that's a guy that to me, I'm going to watch that matchup as well. But I'm kind of curious, and I'd mentioned this on Jaguars Today with Mike Dempsey on Tuesday. The best right tackle performance probably, with the exception of Austin Pasdor, that the Jaguars had in the preseason, I thought was the job that Sam Young had against the Atlanta Falcons. I thought he played exceptionally well at right tackle in that ball game, and he played the whole game. Cam Bradfield struggled at left tackle. I wonder, going into this game, do they possibly think about having Sam Young, be a right tackle, and then that way Cam can be the swing backup? If not, then, if there was an injury, Cam would have to go somewhere else, maybe to replace an injured Jokel. It's just a thought, and I would not be surprised if that could happen.
Going into this game.
Either going into this game or if Cam is struggling during the game, then Sam Young gets inserted in. Sam's a natural right tackle. He's really only a right tackle.
Yeah, that's all. I mean, he's not going to play left. But Cam's going to start. I mean, I'd be shocked if Sam starts. I mean, he's going to be a starting right tackle. Now, obviously, if he's struggling, you're going to do what you have to do during the game to make adjustments and move guys around where you have to. But looking at the matchups, I mean, now you're into the regular season. You're going to see the blitzes. You're going to see a lot of movement. You're going to see backers come in. They have a very good backer in Michael Kendricks. He can run. He's great in open field. He's a good blitzer because of his speed.
He's the perfect weak side or will linebacker.
And so that's someone they're going to have to ID during. And then when they get in third down, Trent Cole's not what he once was. He's a 10-year player. But he still is an effective pass rusher who has a full bag of tricks. And so
I still think he's got juice now.
No, yeah. I know. Not what he did.
He ain't far from what he used to be. Now, back in the day, he was crazy.
He doesn't have the bull that he once did.
No, but let me put this number out there. In the last nine games that he played you know, which is counting the playoff game that they played against the New Orleans Saints, he had 9 sacks. That's a pretty strong number.
No, listen, I'm not taking anything away from him at all. That's why I'm saying that matchup right there with Luke Jokel and Trent Cole is going to go a long way of how effective this offense can be throwing the ball.
Tony Boselli, left tackle, how do you block Cole? If you're watching film on him today, 10th-year player, how do you stop
him? One, I would be changing up my sets. I mean, I give him some short sets because while he
– No, you got to explain to people what changing your sets
okay, change means. Thank you, Jeff. I forgot. I thought we were just the three of us were talking. You know, changing sets. So you have basically three different kinds of sets or that I would go into the game. You have a more vertical step that a real speed guy.
You're talking about in pass protection.
Pass protection, one
your first step's kind of coming out of your stance.
When I say vertical, means you're going more depth because you got speed. The other is more of a 45-degree angle. You're going at a 45-degree angle away from the line of scrimmage. And then the short set is you're actually trying to get on the guy as soon as possible, more as a horizontal set.
Almost like a run block. Kind of, but I mean, not that aggressive.
Yeah, not that aggressive. But, that would be a good picture.
So just mixing it between
those
three.
You got to mix it up because I think if you give a guy like Trent Cole, because of his veteran and his pass rush ability and what he can do, you give him one look the entire game, he's going to start figuring things out. The other thing I would do with Trent is I'd be very patient with my hands. I would say you got to get your hands on him. But if you're going to bowl me, I'm going to get my hands inside and I'll recover or I'll replace him. Because one thing he's going to do is he's going to show you something, and he does an excellent job with his hips and his upper body of turning them and not allowing you to get a good shot on him, especially if you show your hands early and he has a good outside hand of chopping them down, and he gets the edge quite a bit on offensive tackles. And so you got to be patient. You have to let him come to you at some point and not get too aggressive, because if you get too aggressive and you get out over the top of your pads leaning, he's going to make you look real bad.
Jaguars Eagles coming up at 1:00 on Sunday. Go long in the fuel-efficient Ford Fusion. See your Southern Ford dealer today. Proud partner of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Ford, go further. Phone lines are still open. 355-NFL1, 355-6351. We'll come back and look ahead at Week 1 of the National Football League. It starts tonight, in fact. We'll wrap up Jaguars Thursday right after this on Jaguars Radio.
If you're a Jacksonville Jaguars fan, as am I, you gotta check out Fanatics.com. They've got the largest assortment of Jags gear anywhere. More than 2,000 Jaguars products. I'm talking jerseys, t-shirts, hats, collectibles. And if you're a fan of the Gators, Seminoles, Bulldogs, or Hurricanes, Fanatics.com's got you covered. And get this, if you type in promo code JAGS, 4 letters, J-A-G-S, you're gonna get free shipping. Can't beat that. Every sport, every team, go right now, Fanatics.com.
Episcopal School of Jacksonville offers 6th through 12th grades for your student. The school's balanced college preparatory program focuses on building a total educational experience that is flexible enough for students to explore their passions and try it all. Episcopal also provides spiritual and character development in an inclusive and caring environment that helps prepare students for life beyond their school years. Hi, I'm Mark Brunel, and at Episcopal, I found a welcoming community that has challenged me to be the best coach and leader I can be. Our students are challenged the same way. Visit www.esj.org to learn more about this great community.
Hi folks, Frank Frangie here for the best barbecue in town, that's Bono's. And now it's the official barbecue of the Jacksonville Jaguars. All season long, you can get Bono's barbecue at 6 different locations in Everbank Field. You also get Bono's barbecue at 15 locations all around town with fast, friendly service, clean family restaurants, and that great, great taste of Bono's barbecue. If you want great barbecue, you want Bono's. And remember this, if there ain't a pit, it ain't legit. That's Bono.
Okay, sports fans, it's game time at the Built Ford Tough Sales event. Ford F-150 with EcoBoost has smash mouth power with efficiency. Ford Super Duty, boom. That's how you punch it right up the gut, pal. And here's another stat, folks. F-Series has been America's best-selling truck for 37 straight years. That's called a dynasty, baby. Now, during the Built Ford Tough Sales event, score big savings on the hardest-hitting lineup of trucks on the field. Ford F-150 and Ford Super Duty, only at your local Ford dealer.
I'm Michaela Bradley, wife of Jacksonville Jaguars head coach Gus Bradley. My husband is always prepared with a game day plan, and so am I. As a busy mom, I'm always looking for easy ways to save time. Publix helps me tackle everything from pregame prep to postgame cleanup with prices that are never out of bounds.
This week at Publix, assorted Febreze Aerifex and Sedin Refresh items are on sale, 2 for $5.
Available at Publix, where shopping is a pleasure.
Hey, it's the Roo. What would you say if I told you you could get a hot dog and a refreshing fountain drink for $1.50 at Kangaroo Express? You'd say, this is too good to be true. A dog and a drink for $1.50? How can this be? And I'd say, oh, it's true. Go to Kangaroo Express and see for yourself. A delicious ballpark frank and an ice-cold fountain drink for $1.50. And you'd say, how can I ever thank you? And I'd say, don't worry about it. That's what the Roo is here for. Check out KangarooExpress.com for more deals. Kangaroo Express. Get right at the Roo.
Republic Services is the undisputed leader in recycling in Northeast Florida, the official waste provider of the Jags, and have been proudly serving the residents and businesses of Northeast Florida for over 30 years. Call Republic Services for all of your waste and recycling solutions, and they will take it from here. Jaguars Thursday, final segment. We go to the phone lines one last time. 355-NFL1, 355-6351. Mike in San Marco wants to talk about the game plan in Philly. What's up, Mike?
Hey, fellas. Just, as good as this Philadelphia offense is and this vaunted offense and up and down the field, with such a young line, the one thing these guys have done since birth is get low, blow off the ball, and run the football, have somebody, knock a guy down and open up running lanes. Would the Jags be better served to really try to do nothing but hammer the football on these guys, keep the other offense on the sideline? And from a technique standpoint, well, will they be better off during the season to really do that as opposed to get beat on a lot of matchups with a lot of young players?
You're always better off doing what you do best and what you practice. And it's a great question. But I think the best answer is that you always do what you do best to have success. You can't morph into something different every week because the challenge is different from another team. The best teams in the National Football League, they don't sit there and hide or have this new game plan from week to week. They come out, they say, here's what we do, good luck stopping it, and that's how they win.
What does this offense do best?
I don't know. I mean,
we'll find out.
We haven't seen this offense together yet. We don't know yet.
I'll answer it this way.
Excuse me. We know what the Eagles offense is good at because they were all together last year. This offense here has so many new components. Sure.
So, what I would do, I think what Jed and you talking, they want to run the ball. And they're going to throw it, don't get me wrong. But I would get after this offense, this defensive line. They're a 3-4 team. I love playing against 3-4 teams because I think the zone works very well if you're disciplined and you stay on your tracks and you're physical at the point of attack. And so I would pound these guys. I would pound them, and I get Toby Gerhart going early and then allow my young receivers to get in the flow of the game and open it up from that point.
You got to also do what we've kind of seen in the preseason, and Chad Henne's at the helm. What he does best is the short.
Oh yeah, you're going to do that still, absolutely.
To where it's almost a running the clock type of running attack, but it's with short passes.
And Jeff makes his point about do what you do well. Listen, the Pittsburgh Steelers were complex because that's who they were. But I'll never forget the first time we played Buffalo in the playoffs. It was the easiest week of game planning ever because they ran a 3-4, and the only adjustment they made, they go to a 3-4 under, which meant the defensive end went to a 3 technique over the guard, and they ran the same front, and they basically said, we are going to be here, and we're going to run our stuff, and if we're better than you. Now, they had some great personnel.
Bruce Smith.
They were just going to line up, and it was going into the game. I knew exactly what they were going to do the entire time, and they just said, "We're going to be better than you."
The best players and the best teams that I've ever faced, there was never any mystery about what they.
Yeah, you knew what they were going to do.
The only thing that was really a challenge is that a lot of teams that did something really well, in three different areas off of the same look.
Exactly right.
A great pass rusher has an up the field, speed move, and then a complement, which is a spin maybe coming back underneath, and then he has the power. All great pass rushers have three moves. Tony, you would agree to that.
The great every great speed rusher is a great speed rusher because they had a great inside move. I used to say it all the time. If one or two things. If you had great speed and great power, you were tough. If you had great speed, great power, and a counter move, you were very difficult. But if you just had speed, I don't care how fast you were not going to win.
It's much like the offenses of, you know, the Buffalo Bills when they went to four Super Bowls and used to play them all the time. Mm-hmm. They ran belly weak, they ran belly strong, and then they threw the football to Andre Reed. But the running game with Thurman Thomas, that's all it was. It was belly weak and belly strong, and Thurman had great vision and had the ability to cut back.
But they did that every single week. That's what they did.
Listen, early here when we had Jimmy and Fred and Keenan, we ran inside zone, we ran outside zone. We ran to the strength, we ran to the weak. And then if they got single high, we were throwing it to Jimmy.
And into a fan, it may look like it's different because, you know, the coaches will dress it up with different formations and motions and all that. But when the ball is snapped, you know, even changing personnel sometimes, if you take out a tight end and insert a wide receiver, you can still run the same plays and it's the same look.
Thanks for the call tonight in San Marco. You know what I'm excited about this week? Tomorrow morning we'll interview Fred Taylor for the pregame show. I'm interested to ask him about LeSean McCoy and what he thinks about him.
He'll have great respect for LeSean McCoy.
And you'll hear that coming up on Sunday.
What about the game tonight?
Hey, let's talk about week one of the NFL. Packers-Seahawks.
It's in tonight. Seattle, right?
It is in Seattle, the 12th man in full effect.
Seattle's going to I could be a boat race. I mean, they're going to –
really?
Oh, that place is going to be going, coming off the Super Bowl.
Their quarterback is making progress. You know, his preseason was just lights out.
We won't go through every game in week one, but it is Drew Brees versus Matt Ryan. Saints at the Falcons.
I think the Falcons are going to struggle again this year.
You think so?
Yeah, I don't.
They got some horses
I
back.
Really, no, it doesn't matter. I just from what I saw of them on film this year, I'm not overly impressed. I know they'll put some points up on the board. Their defense doesn't impress me. The New Orleans Saints
are going to be really good.
I think they're going to be really good.
The Saints are going to be – I wouldn't be surprised if it's the Saints and the Seahawks in the NFC Championship game, and I wouldn't be surprised if the Saints win. The Saints are going to be –
Are you calling Saints for the Super Bowl?
I got a lot of respect for the Ryan that's in New Orleans.
He's a good defensive coordinator.
I love him.
Bengals-Ravens. That's a good matchup.
I think the Bengals are a much better team, more talented, and I'm not a believer in the Ravens at all.
In Baltimore.
Yeah, and see, I'm going to go with the Ravens. I think that they've got a lot to prove. I think they still got some really good personnel, and I'm not a believer in Andy Dalton. Not yet.
Patriots, well, they're playing the Dolphins. I think the Patriots are going to run away with that one, to be quite honest
with you. Yeah, well, but, you know.
Week one, who knows?
You never
Gronk
know.
Gronk is back.
Yeah, and I don't know if he's back yet. I mean, from some of the film clips that I've watched him in training camp, he's still kind of gimping around.
Best tight end in the league. We discovered this on Monday.
When he's healthy.
Jimmy Graham.
Niners-Cowboys, 4:25 kick on Sunday in Dallas.
You know what? The Dallas Cowboys offense is going to be very, very good. Their defense is going to be very, very bad. But the San Francisco 49ers
have all kinds of issues.
Their best defensive lineman now is Alden Smith. He's out for 9 games. Justin Smith, another year older. Ray McDonald, who knows what
– Guard just got back in camp, starting guard.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if Dallas wins that game.
Now, I think that's going to be a real tight game.
Their defense is so bad, though. Who knows?
We'll finish Colts-Broncos on Sunday night. Well, I think Denver in a runaway.
I'm going to take the Colts.
Oh, you really?
I'm going to take the Colts. No Wes Welker. I'm taking the Colts.
All right. I like the Broncos.
Wow. I like it. Hey, it's good to be back on Jaguars Thursday, guys. Well done.
Always fun, JP.
Tony Boselli, Jeff Lagerman, JP Shadrick. Our thanks to Joe Fortunato. That's it for tonight. Sunday, 1 o'clock kick. That's it for Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.